Well, let us now turn to our scripture reading for this morning. You'll find it in the book of Exodus and chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, we'll focus this morning primarily on the words in verses 10 to 20, but we can read all of the chapter just now. And let us hear God's own holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant word. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot, and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea, beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily. So that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Amen. May God bless that reading of his word. O congregation, brothers and sisters, I came across a picture of a little boy. And in the picture, the little boy, he had a bag full of apples hanging over one of his shoulders, and he was clinging by the tips of his fingers to the top of a wall. And at the bottom of the wall, on one side, the side that the little boy was hanging from, was a great big bulldog chained to his kennel and just waiting to take a chunk out of that little boy. And on the other side of the wall was the owner of the orchard from which the boy had obviously stolen the apples which he had. And so that little boy, he couldn't go up the wall for fear of the owner who was clearly looking for him. And yet he couldn't go down the wall either for fear of the dog below. And so the caption at the bottom of the picture, it simply read, In a fix. And that little boy had got himself into a fix then because of his sin. But as we all know, it isn't just little boys who can get themselves into a fix because of their sin. We can all find ourselves in that kind of situation because of the choices that we have made. And we can feel trapped. We can feel that there's no way out, just like that little boy obviously did. Well, here in the chapter that we read earlier, we have a similar and yet at the same time a very different picture brought before us. It's a picture of an entire nation that we could say was in a fix. But it wasn't because of their sin. Wasn't because of their choices even. It was God's doing. For you see, they were trapped between the Red Sea and the Egyptian army. But it was God himself who had brought them to this place in their experience, whereas we say they were between a rock and a hard place. For you see, they found themselves in a situation where there appeared to be no way out, appeared there was no place for them to turn, no means of escape. And so they didn't see any way forward at that moment. And many times in life we can feel just like that, not necessarily because we have acted foolishly or even done anything that we shouldn't have done. We might even have tried to do all of the right things. And yet we still find ourselves in a seemingly hopeless situation. Well, this morning then, we're going to look at the record that we have here of the predicament the nation of Israel found themselves in. And we're going to try to learn from it how best to handle these kinds of situations when perhaps we don't know where to turn or how we should respond when we don't know what to do next. And when it seems like we are in an impossible and hopeless situation, kind of situation where everything looks dark, perhaps we're ready to give up in despair, to give up hope. And friend, if that's where you find yourself this morning, then I want you to know that with God there is always hope. You see, with God there is always a way out. For remember, man's extremity, it is simply God's opportunity to show himself strong on our behalf, to bring glory to himself. Well, as we turn to look at this episode in the history of the people of Israel, what we can learn from it then, I want you to notice the three responses to the trouble they were in, which are recorded for us here in verses 10 to 20 of Exodus chapter 14. And the first response we'll look at is the natural response. Then secondly, we'll notice the faithful response. And then finally, the divine response. Well, firstly then, let us consider the natural response. And we find that in verses 10 to 12. But before we get to this, I want you to be thinking about the situation which the Israelites found themselves in here. I want you to be asking yourself the question, how would I likely have responded had I have been here with them? Now, as you remember, the nation of Israel, at this point in their history, they had miraculously been delivered from slavery in Egypt. They were now setting out on their way to the promised land. And their prospects looked good. They were upbeat about the future. And yet, as we said earlier, they now find themselves trapped at the edge of the Red Sea. Not because they were lost, not because they had failed to follow God's directions. On the contrary, we're told in verses 1 to 2 of this chapter, they were there because God had actually commanded them to encamp here. And so as we read later in verse 10, as they encamped here before Pi-Hahiroth, they look up only to see in the distance the Egyptians marching after them. They see that Pharaoh and all the might of that great superpower of that time, they're bearing down on them. And so, as we're told, they became sore afraid. Literally, it says they were utterly terrified. And they began to panic then. They began to complain against Moses, their divinely appointed leader. And we might even say they had every reason to be afraid, naturally speaking. I mean, let's face it, this is likely how all of us would have reacted here if we had have been in this multitude. I mean, think about it. They have the Red Sea in front of them. They have the entire Egyptian army behind them. And they have mountains on either side of them. And so from a human standpoint, their situation, it seems utterly, completely hopeless. It appears they're about to be annihilated. And so they begin to complain that they should have stayed in Egypt. And friends, isn't that exactly how it often is with all of us? When we find ourselves in trouble, when we meet with seemingly insurmountable obstacles, even though perhaps just like the Israelites, we may have seen God's deliverance in the past, we have his promise even of deliverance in the future. But what do we find ourselves doing almost instinctively. We focus, don't we, on what we can see, the obstacles, the difficulties, how it is that things appear to us. And we judge by sight then. And before you know it then, we are right where the Israelites were here, complaining and murmuring against God and against others. And so when we ought to be walking by faith and not by sight, we walk by sight and not by faith. And the result is that so often, tragically, we misinterpret what God is doing in our lives at the time. We become discouraged and fearful, and our thinking, it becomes clouded then. You see, we start to think the worst. We start seeing graves, as someone has said, where there are none, just like the Israelites here. And so often we forget, don't we, that God knows exactly what He is doing, even if it doesn't make sense to us at the time. And we give way so often to an evil heart of unbelief. The peace that we ought to have ruling our hearts, it is gone. And you see, then, there is a tension so often between what we claim to believe on the one hand and our actual experience on the other. And how slow we are to learn then. We must walk by faith, not by sight, when we do find ourselves in circumstances that we don't understand, circumstances that are beyond our control even. And friends, all of us have, or either will discover soon enough, that we can't go far in life without meeting things which are outside of our control that will inevitably perplex us. And these things can often lead us to question whether God really cares for us, whether He really is in control of our lives. And yet we need to remember that God is always at work in all things, just as He was here. And we need to remember that in all of these things, His purpose is to teach us through His ways of working in providence, that though they are often mysterious, yet He wants us to learn through them, to trust Him more deeply. Just like a parent who must take that little child that they love, they've held so often, supported on their knee. But there comes a time when they must put that little child down, must learn to walk on his own. And yet, isn't it true that the parent is never far away? They're ready to catch their little son or daughter if they should happen to fall. You see, so it is with God. God must teach His children to learn how to walk by faith and not by sight. You see, very often when we begin the Christian life, God's presence can be very real to us. We sense His presence with us. And yet very often a time of crisis will come when perhaps it seems like He is absent, when we appear to be in our own. And we're tempted to think then perhaps that life would have been easier if we just stay put, if we had never begun to follow Christ and set out toward the promised land. But you see, God is wanting to teach us that our response to the providence of God, it is utterly crucial to our peace and our comfort in this life, to our stability in our walk with God. And friends, the reality is that there are really only two ways that we can respond to God's involvement in our lives. We're either going to judge by sight, or we are going to judge by faith. And here in this chapter, we have examples of both of these responses. And so while we've looked at the natural response then when trouble comes, I want to now look secondly at the faithful response when trouble comes. And you can find that in verses 13 to 14, where we see there in those verses, in spite of the response of the majority, Moses remained confident that God would be faithful to his word. He would deliver his people. And so Moses provides a great example then of what faith looks like under pressure. Remember, he was seeing everything that the others saw. Just like them, he saw the mountains on either side. He saw the Red Sea in front of them. And he wasn't blind to the approach of Pharaoh and his army behind them either. He saw all of these things. And yet, you see, by faith, he also saw what it seems everyone else had failed to see. That God would show himself faithful and open up a way before them. And you see, it was that then that enabled him to be more aware of what really was then than what appeared to be. And friends, just like Moses, this is one of the most important spiritual lessons that we all need to learn as we are confronted with the challenges of life and our need for a deeper trust in God, that appearance and reality are very seldom the same thing. And outwardly, yes, it seemed that Moses, the people of Israel, were doomed here. Seemed there was no way out. And yet, as we know, the reality was just the opposite. Reminds me, boys and girls, of the young girl I read of. She'd never been on a train before. And so she was traveling for the first time on a train ride through the country. And it happened that in the course of the journey, the train had to cross two branches of a river and several wide streams. And that young girl, as she looked out of the window of the train, she could see the water of the river appearing up ahead in the distance. And having never been in a train before, it created doubts and fears in her mind. You see, she didn't understand how the train would be able to safely cross the upcoming river. But of course, as the train got closer to the river, a bridge appeared, and the train, it passed safely over it to the other side of the river. And two or three times that same experience was repeated until finally the young girl, she leaned back in her seat with a sigh of relief and confidence. And she cried out. She said, "Somebody has put bridges for us all the way." And you see, that is how life can be sometimes. We fear so many things, so many troubles. They look dark ahead from our perspective. And so many difficulties in our lives, they can seem insurmountable as they loom on the horizon before us. But you see, isn't it true that as we advance, we find there is a way through them? For God has built bridges for us all the way through life, so to speak. And you see, that's what Moses believed God would do here. For he believed that just as God had brought himself and the people of Israel out of Egypt, so he would make a way for them to get out of this predicament they find themselves in. And while everyone else around him then was in a state of panic and dismay, he was confident that his God was in control of all things. And so there was something more real to him than his outward circumstances that he could lay hold of by faith. And that's why we find him here then telling the people of Israel in verses 13 and 14, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And he was reminding the people here then there was hope. And so in spite of outward appearances, they were not to fear. They were to remember God was on their side. God hadn't abandoned them. He was still with them. And so they needed to control their fear then by refocusing their faith on their God. In other words, they needed to walk by faith and not by sight. To understand their worst fears, they wouldn't be realized. But you see, they were where they were in obedience to God's command. God was the one who had providentially ordered their circumstances here. And so they could therefore confidently rest in the expectation that the Lord, he would act on their behalf. And friends, do these words not stand as a reminder to all of us? Also, therefore, in that we too can rest in God in difficult and trying circumstances, not because of the absence of danger or difficulties, but because of a God in whom we can trust, whose grace is always sufficient for us, and who is in full control of every situation we can ever find ourselves in. That's why, as Matthew Henry notes, it is our duty and interest, when we cannot get out of our troubles, yet to get above our fears, so that they may only serve to quicken our prayers and endeavors, but may not prevail to silence our faith and hope. You see, friends, fear is what grips us when we fail to see God through our circumstances. But faith is what quickens us when we see our circumstances, yes, but we see them through God. And faith is what will enable us to recognize then, even though we are not in control of the situation, whatever it may be, nevertheless, God, my friend, is still in control of it. He's still directing us in the way he wants us to go. And you see, so often God purposely brings us into trying and difficult circumstances so that we would learn this very lesson. That when everything seems to be unraveling perhaps all around us or even within us, we always have a place to go. You see, there is still another direction to look, and that is up to God. And let us all learn, therefore, to look to God in life, to come boldly to the throne of grace, as we're exhorted to do in Hebrews chapter 4, so that we may find grace to help in every time of need. For you see, it's there that we'll see past the Egyptians in our own lives. We'll see past every obstacle that the enemy of our souls would seek to raise up before us to cause us to stumble and to lose heart, to get us to fall and to drag our heels in life. For you see, it's there that we'll see the one who ever lives to make intercession for us, seated at the right hand of God in glory. And it's then that we will see the salvation of the Lord. For it's then that we'll see that behind every wall is the man of God's right hand, our Savior, our Redeemer, our all. And we'll be able to say to God with the psalmist then in verse 3 of Psalm 56, what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee, and I will be still in the knowledge that my God reigns. He is my refuge and my strength. He is a very present help in a time of trouble. And so just as Moses instructed the people here then, we must remember in life the battle, it belongs to the Lord. And you and I, we don't have the means or strength in ourselves to overcome our difficulties any more than the Israelites had here. But you see, we need to remember God has laid help upon one who is mighty, mighty to save, to uphold, to deliver us. And we are to look to Jesus Christ then, amid all of the uncertainties and changes of life. We're to learn to draw what we need from Him. And friend, don't lean upon an arm of flesh then, when you find yourself perhaps backed into a corner. Don't be looking to your own resources. Don't be taking matters into your own hands. And don't be running ahead of God either. But learn to take refuge in Him, to wait upon Him. Take refuge in His Word, in His promises, and in prayer. And learn that when despair would seek to cast you down, when fear would be telling you to retreat, and when impatience would be telling you you must be doing something now, learn that there is a time to stand still, to watch and see what God will do. For remember, every problem we face in life, it is but an opportunity to see God at work if we will but let Him. And that's what we see in the last place then, the divine response when trouble comes. You see, coming to the Red Sea was every bit as much a part of God's plan as crossing it was, because God wanted the Israelites to learn a valuable lesson, the lesson that we all need to learn so badly in life, to walk by faith and not by sight, not to judge by appearances, but to trust in God at all times, to depend entirely upon Him, that He does have everything in control, and that He is more real than anything you and I can ever see with the physical eye. And you see, that's what the people of Israel needed to grasp. The fact that everything that was unfolding here before their eyes, they needed to understand, wasn't catching God off guard, wasn't taking God by surprise. It was simply part of His all-encompassing plan to overrule all things for the good of His people and for His own glory. And so we see here then that God now takes control of the situation. He comes at the appointed time and He now gives Moses instructions as to what is to be done. You see, having brought them into their predicament, He now says to Moses in verses 15 and 16, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And contrary to what they thought then, the hour of their salvation, it had now come. The deliverance that God had purposed all along, it was at hand. And so the Israelites are now told to go forward without delay in obedience to God's command. For they were now to learn another important lesson, that there comes a time when it is necessary to act, as well as to wait and to pray. There is a time to step out in faith, demonstrate confidence in the promises of God, to go forward trusting in Him, to open up the way before us as we learn to commit ourselves into His hands by faith. And while it is wrong, therefore, to act without deliberation and prayer, we need to remember it is also wrong to be deliberating when we ought to be acting. And that's what the Israelites needed to learn here too. That's what we need to learn sometimes also. For yes, there can be no progress in the Christian life without prayer. But there comes a time in our experience when God calls us to take action. And you see, some people are naturally hasty. They are ready to decide on the right course of action at once. And so they are in danger of neglecting prayer and acting impulsively. On the spur of the moment, they're in danger of running ahead of God. But others, however, are in danger of procrastinating forever. There are some people, and they think, they deliberate, they doubt, they question, they never go forward in life. They never act when called by God to do so. And no doubt you're thinking, well, how do I know when to pray and how do I know when to act? Well, that's a subject for a whole different sermon. I can't give you the answer to that just now. But always remember that God opens doors. God closes doors in our experience. And so, yes, you need to pray, but you also need to remain open and attentive to what God is doing in your life also. And so ask Him to show you the way ahead when you don't know what to do. But also ask Him to make you ready and willing to go forward when He calls you to do so. Well, the Israelites were commanded here to go forward in faith. And so they did. And we all know the glorious result. You have it recorded in verses 21 and following of this chapter, how it was that God opened up the way before them. For He parted the waters of the Red Sea. He created a road through it, pathway that was pointing to His love and His power, where they could only see an obstacle. And so they obtained the victory over their enemies. For we're told the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, as we read in verse 30. You see, God did for them what they couldn't do for themselves. And they learned that day then that salvation, it belongs to the Lord alone. For God is the one who delivers His people. And is that not what we all need to learn above all else, when we find ourselves perhaps between a rock and a hard place, in times of difficulty and distress? We need to remember God hasn't promised an easy life to any one of us. He hasn't promised you or I a life free from difficulty and danger. But you see, He has promised to be with His people in all that they meet with in this life, to bring them through every trial, every difficulty, every disappointment. If you see what God brings His people to, He will bring them through. Reminds me, boys and girls, of Gladys Aylward. I'm sure that name is familiar to many of you. Well, she was a missionary to China more than 50 years ago. and she was forced to flee when the Chinese invaded Yangcheng. But she couldn't leave her work behind. And so with only one assistant, she led more than 100 orphan children over the mountains toward free China. But during her harrowing journey out of war-torn Yangchen, she grappled with despair as she'd never done before. And after passing a sleepless night, she faced the morning with no hope of reaching safety. But a 13-year-old girl in the group, sensing her fear, she came to her and she reminded her of their much-loved story of Moses and the Israelites crossing the Red Sea that she had read to them often. And Gladys, when she heard this, she cried out in desperation. She said to that little girl, she said, "But I am not Moses." But the young girl simply smiled and she said, "Of course you aren't. But Jehovah is still God." But boys and girls, Gladys and the orphans and her assistant, they made it safely to free China. For you see, the Lord was with them. He was still God. And friends, He is still with all of His people. And so no matter how inadequate you or I may feel at times, this is what we need to remember. God is still God, and He will always be God. And so we can trust in Him then, if we are among His people, that He has a purpose for good in all of the experiences we pass through in life. Well, friends, I don't know where you are at in your experience this morning. I don't know what difficulties you may well be experiencing. But always remember that however great your difficulty may appear in your own eyes, God is greater still. And as someone has said then, God's hand that holds the ocean depths, it can hold your small affairs. His hand that guides the universe, it can carry all your cares. And let all of us seek to walk by faith, not by sight then. Let us seek, as the hymn writer says, to trust Him when dark doubts assail us, to trust Him when our strength is small, to trust Him when to simply trust Him seems the hardest thing of all. Trust Him through cloud or sunshine, and all thy cares upon Him cast, till the storms of life are over and thy trusting days are past. Amen.